East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session, Christ Lives in Me, The Experience of Christ in Galatians. Message number 4, Baptized into Christ, Putting on Christ, and Being One in Christ.
Praise the Lord. So good to be here with you here in Athens, Georgia. I love the book of Galatians, don't you?
Yes.
Is this on?
Yeah. Okay.
My spirit, your spirit is on?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I love this book of Galatians, don't you?
Amen.
Of course, I think when we read the Bible, the New Testament, we usually don't go right to Galatians, right?
Right.
You go where? John 3:16, right? That's where I went when I was first a believer. It brought me into the Gospel of John. I didn't know there was a book of Galatians. Did you? Sean, you never knew there was a book of Galatians, right? So praise the Lord for this book.
Yes.
We're enjoying this book in the evening line, right?
Amen.
These six chapters. The book of Galatians is a very strategic book in God's economy.
Amen.
Very important. It's important, it's that important, that if the Lord would lead you to enter into the full-time training in Anaheim for 2 years, in the God's Economy class, we get into this book. I think we may have a whole term just on Galatians. We get into the life study, maybe 14 or 15 weeks. So if the Lord leads you, which I hope He does, you will now. You have a little bit of a head start on the others, maybe west of the Mississippi. I don't know. Are they getting into that? Well, okay. So the whole United States is in Galatians, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So that's that important. Brother Lee, he chose all the material for the full-time training in Anaheim that began in August of 1989, and for aspects of the content of the God's Economy class, he felt that the book of Galatians should be used to bring the trainees into the depths of this book and take a look at God's economy from this book. The first time I heard about the book of Galatians and was in a conference with Brother Lee was probably 1971 or 1972. Many times when we were there in the church in Los Angeles, Brother Lee would have a conference up in the Bay Area. So right away, we'd jump in the car. I tell you, as soon as we heard Brother Lee had a conference, we were there. Front row, Matt, we were there. Front row. And he opened up in a conference I remember. I don't know if the book's in print yet. He opened up the book of Galatians for the first time. We were shocked. Christ revealed in me, Christ living in me, Christ formed in me, Christ all in me, Christ everything in me. We said, wow, what a book of Galatians. That was probably 1971 or 1972. Then, he began the life study of the entire Bible with the book of Romans in the winter of 1974. Then when he got to 1979, here we go again, the book of Galatians. Right, he opened up the life study of Galatians in 1979. I think maybe 30 messages, I think, on Galatians. They're in the life studies, the green books, right, that all of you should read, right?
Right.
So hopefully you are reading to prepare you for the full-time training in Anaheim. Okay, that was 1979. Then I think it went all the way to the year. We know Brother Lee passed away in 1997. Then the brothers began a crystallization study of all the books. After all the books were covered in a life study kind of format, in an exposition, in a way, in life, the brothers felt to go into a way of crystallization because Brother Lee went the way of crystallization to bring us into the essence of the divine revelation. Okay? Then Galatians was crystallized in the winter of 2003. So it gives you an idea. All the way from 1971, then 1979, then 2003, and now here, praise the Lord, we're here in 2009, and we're still in the book of Galatians.
Amen.
It's very, very rich.
Amen.
Okay, we saw, I think, what was it Tuesday night? The brothers' fellowship concerning God's desire, right? God has a desire. It's particular in the book of Galatians, right? To rescue us. That means something's not so good, Sean, right? We need to be rescued. Amen. We need to be what? Plucked out. We need to be what? Delivered. Amen. Another Greek translation says we need to be what? Extricated. Do you know that you are extricated? You know, sometimes you read about a car accident where they had to use the jaws of life. The person is trapped inside this metal wreck. He can't get out. So they need, I saw the jaws of life one time in a demonstration. It's amazing what it can do. God used the jaws of life to extricate us, Bill. From what? From hell, right?
No.
I'm waiting for the correction. If you know me, you have to be ready for correction. Don't believe everything I say. Only if it's according to the Bible should you say amen.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to say, no, Bill.
No.
So, right? His intention is to what? To rescue us from hell.
No.
Don't say that. You have to understand. You didn't get rescued out of hell?
Yes.
No, you say yes. This brother, I know his parents, right? He said, no, a strong no. I said, what? God didn't rescue you out of hell? He got me out of hell. He left you there, huh? No, no. That's one aspect.
Right.
That's not Galatians.
Right, right, right.
So don't say no. You have to be... Right? That's right. To keep you awake, Carlos. See, in the book of Galatians, God has an intention to rescue his children, his believers, out of what? The present evil age or the evil religious age. At that time, Judaism. Today is what? The Christian religion. Galatians is not an easy book to enter into because we just don't have that background. Most of us don't have a Jewish or a Judaic background. It's hard for us to understand how could the Mosaic law be so important. But I tell you, if you were a Jew 2,000 years ago, and the only genuine religion of God on the whole earth was Judaism, I tell you, then you would understand a lot more clearly why it was not easy for God to extricate us, or, of course, them back there, from the present evil religious system of Judaism. That's the book here. So God in chapter 1, that's why Paul used the word so strong, Galatian believers. You know, Galatia today is today's what? Eastern Turkey, right? It's Eastern Turkey today, a region of Galatia. It was a region with many churches, but those churches became what? Poisoned by Judaism. So God's desire, right, he had to come in with Paul's ministry to rescue them,
amen,
pluck them out, deliver them, and get them out of Judaism in order that the churches may fluctuate, the churches may grow, and eventually express God and represent God, that God may have a testimony on this earth. So we saw in Galatians chapter 1, God's desire, right, to bring us out of the present evil age.
Amen.
That is not a simple thing. Or else, Paul wouldn't use these words, pluck out, rescue, extricate. It's not easy to be extricated from something. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of work, a lot of wisdom to bring you out of a very complicated situation so you don't get lost, okay? So that's Galatians 1, right? But also in Galatians 1, we saw that what? Paul reminds those Galatian believers, right? He said what? Paul brings in his own experience. When it pleased God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Something pleases God.
Amen.
Right? Who what? He separated me from my mother's womb to do what? To reveal his son to me. Right?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Very good. You're awake. To reveal his son where?
In me.
Where is his son?
In me.
He's not at the right hand of God, right?
Yes.
He's there and he's in where?
In me.
Did God reveal his son in you?
Amen.
That's right. Or you wouldn't be here tonight. So this is Galatians 1. God's intention. It is God's what? Intent. That's his will. Only his cold, calculated intention?
No.
No. What?
Pleasure.
And pleasure. That's what? That's God's emotions. You know, God is an emotional God, Bill.
Amen.
Right? Yes. We don't like the sisters to be that emotional. but brothers, God is emotional.
Amen.
Don't say, don't be emotional, sisters. I would say, brothers, be emotional.
Amen.
Well, because God is emotional. He's the most emotional one, right? God has an intention and what? And a pleasure. Wow, God likes something. What does God like to do? Play ping pong? I like to play ping pong. It's one of my good pleasures to play ping pong with Brian Lutz. But that's not God's intent and pleasure. He has something higher, something deeper, something richer. Is what? To reveal his son in you. Wow, what an intention. What a good pleasure. God, he just looks forward every minute, right, to what? To bring his son, the son of God, the expression of God, God's son, God's expression, what? In human beings.
Amen.
It's like the angels do what? Backflips. When someone gets regenerated, wow, when the very Christ is unveiled and revealed in people. That's a joy. Didn't you enjoy? I went out, you know, on the gospel today with Brian Lutz.
Amen.
See? And we had a wonderful time just sowing seeds to probably four or five different people. We use all different kinds of things. You know, I carry a bottle with me like this. And sometimes I approach people and say, you know, this, you know, I, you know, Sean, I did that with you, right? At Central Connecticut State University, right? Showing, you know, You're a bottle, right, to contain, you know, something. So many times I bring my water bottle with me as an illustration, right? Another guy was sitting under a bench there in College of Law. So I said, are you a law student? Yeah, I'm studying law. Oh, God, did you know in the Bible it talks about the law? He says, I'm a Roman Catholic. I know everything about the Bible. I says, okay, in Romans chapter 8, there's this thing called the law. Not the law of Moses, but what? The law of sin and death. I said, always makes us do what we don't want to do.
Yeah.
But there's another law in Romans 8. It's called the law, what? Of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
See? I could tell he didn't know that. So we infused him, that Christ in him, right? When the Lord enters into human beings, he brings a divine law into you. The divine life contains a divine law, and that law will make you God in life and in nature, but not in what? In the Godhead, right, as are becoming an object of worship. You don't want to become an object of worship, do you? Okay, so Galatians 1, it is God's intent and what? And pleasure to have what? To have Christ, what? Revealed in me. I tell you, this song composed by Brother Lee is a masterpiece. You go through the chapters. Chapter 1, Christ what? Revealed in me. What's that? Galatians what? 1:16, right? Then, second stanza, it is God's intent and pleasure that his Christ may live in me. What's that, Sean? Good. Very good. You're getting ready for the training, right? Right? Then the third stanza. It is God's intent and pleasure that his son be what? Formed in me. You have to wait till tomorrow night. Right? That's where? That's Galatians what? 4:19. Right? So what's the first one? 1:16, 2:20, 4:19. Then it goes on. It jumps out of the book of Galatians in stanza 4 to go into what book? Very good. The book of Ephesians. It is God's intent and pleasure that his Son make home in me. That's Galatians. I mean, that's Ephesians 3, right? Then it goes on. I think it may jump into Colossians. It is God's intent and pleasure that his Son, is it? His Christ, my hope to be? May be. What is your hope, sisters? Sveta. Is Masvi? What is your hope? She would say Christ, but I would say your hope is to get married. My hope one day. Good. You have the hope diamond. The sisters are hoping for a diamond. And then you jump to what? The last stanza in Galatians. That song 5:38, right? It is God's intent and pleasure. What? That is Christ be all in me. Wow. Be everything to it. You see the sequence? Christ what? Revealed in me. Christ what? Living in me. Christ what? Formed in me. Christ what? Make home in me. Christ what? My hope may be. Christ what? My all may be. I tell you, if you, students, if you learn that hymn, I tell you, the book of Galatians is yours. A good part of it is yours. Learn that song, 5:38. It's rich. It's rich in content, rich in the word, rich in experience. This is Brother Lee's experience. By the time he passed away at the age of 91, Christ was everything to him. I would like to be like that, right? So, and then we saw, right, from Brother Dennis's sharing, right, Galatians 2:20. The I is what? Crucified. The I being crucified with Christ, that's Galatians 2, right? And what? Christ living in me, what? In resurrection. Have you been crucified?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So have I. The I in Greek, which is what? The ego. The old man in Romans 6 has a name. Carlos, what's your name?
Carlos.
No, it's I. It's an old man in Romans 6. The old man has a name. What is that name? I. So whether you say the old man or the I is the same. One is the entire old man. One is his name. What is your name? I. The old I, Carlos, has been what? Crucified. Hallelujah. Terminated. Всё in Russian, right? Всё. Over. Finished. Done. And what? Christ is what? Living in me. What? In resurrection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's Galatians 2. Christ and Paul. Paul and Christ had what? They had one life. They only had one life. And what? One living.
Amen.
Right? Christ and Paul had one life and one living. This is Paul's experience. Galatians, do you still like the law? The law has been terminated. It was fulfilled by Christ, and it was what? Uplifted in resurrection, right? And it was terminated, so we are no longer under the law, right? Because Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled the law, right? You know, of course, the law has two aspects, right? It has a moral aspect, and it has what? A ceremonial or ritualistic aspect. Christ would never terminate the moral aspect. No, he only terminated the ritualistic, ceremonial aspect of the law, and that is what? Sabbath. So the Seventh-day Adventists, they treasure the Sabbath, but the Lord crucified it. They treasure what the Lord crucified. Do you still want to keep the Sabbath? Crucified. And the rest of the moral law was uplifted. How can we keep? We couldn't even keep the regular law. How can we keep the uplifted law? Because what? We are in Christ.
Amen.
He's the end of the law. So if you are in Christ, you're freed from the law. Hallelujah. The I has been crucified with Christ, and we live in resurrection with a new I, a resurrected I with God added to it. This is the I that I like. So don't say, forget about the I. No, you need the I. But you need a new eye.
Amen.
You need a resurrected eye.
Amen.
You need an eye with God added to it.
Amen.
You need an eye with the life of God added to it. That's what we live. The new eye lives in resurrection with God added to him.
Amen.
That's the Christian life summed up in Galatians 2:20. Right? Okay, then tonight, right? If you look at your outline, we're going further in Galatians. We'll go into Galatians what? Chapter 3.
Amen.
Okay, let's look in the divine revelation and read some verses from your outline. Galatians chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 27 through 29. Brothers, read these three verses, 27 to 29.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There cannot be Jew nor Greek. There cannot be slave nor free man.
Amen.
There cannot be male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Okay, tonight in this message, we will touch three points. What are they? Number one, baptized into Christ, putting on Christ, and being one in Christ. Let's all say that. Baptized into Christ, putting on Christ, and being one in Christ. If you get those three points, you got it. I can sit down here next to my son-in-law. And then the rest of you can just share, right? Right?
Here, have a seat.
What's the first point? Baptized into Christ. Next, putting on Christ. Next, being one in Christ. Sisters.
Baptized into Christ. Putting on Christ. Being one in Christ.
Brothers. Have you been baptized into Christ?
Amen.
Are you putting on Christ?
Amen.
Some said no, some said amen. Have you been baptized into Christ?
Amen.
Are you putting on Christ?
Amen.
Good. Are you one in Christ?
Amen.
Good. Okay. That's what we'll talk about tonight. Okay, look at your outline. The general topic here says what? Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sisters, what else do you want? Christ lives in you.
Amen.
Wow, if we could see that. That's what Paul was trying to unveil to those Galatian believers who had a good beginning. Christ was revealed in them. Christ started to grow in them. Christ even was living in them. And maybe to some, Christ was even being formed in them. And then who came along? The Judaizers. To take them away from Christ. To distract them from God's eternal goal that this very all-inclusive Christ would be wrought into them to the uttermost. They would become eventually God. In life and in nature, in expression and in function, but not in the Godhead. This is what God intended to do, and this is what Satan wants to stop.
Amen. Right.
He will do everything to keep this Christ, right? You know, he has many tricks, the devil, right? We curse him, we judge him. Number one, he keeps people from Christ being revealed in them.
Right?
He does everything. But if by the Lord's mercy Christ is revealed in you, then what? We think that's okay. You know, another brother and I at Central Connecticut State, we went up to talk to this one person. This was back when the Texas brothers visited us, right? And we talked to him and about the Lord, and he said, I'm a born-again believer. I gave him, he said, I don't need that. I'm all set. I said, that's just the beginning. You mean you just came home, your mother just gave birth to you, and then that's all? She left you in the hospital, right? This is ridiculous. Most of us, didn't our parents bring us home? I mean, at least mine did. Do you think it's okay just for you to be born again? For Christ to be revealed in you? That's just the beginning stage. Is he living in you? No. Has he been formed in you? No. Is he all in you? No. Is he fully your hope? No. Has he fully made his home in your heart? No. So we have a long way to go, saints. We have a long way to go. So the enemy, number one, he wants to keep Christ from being revealed in you. Okay, you got saved. The Lord came to you. You got regenerated. Then what? The next thing is what? You have to allow him to live in you. So Satan comes in and he stops you from advancing any further, telling you, oh, you're okay now. You're okay to go to heaven. If you like golf, they have a golden golf club there. And this is nonsense. The sisters will have golden slippers. They'll walk the golden street. He comes in with all kinds of superstitious nonsense. So you're okay, you're out of hell, you got fire insurance, you're covered. Right? You don't have to worry about anything, you're going to heaven. This is nonsense. Yeah. We're not saying there's no heaven, but not that kind of heaven.
Right.
To keep you from growing in life, to go to the next stage.
Yeah.
After he has been revealed in you, he wants to live in you.
Amen.
So Satan fights that to the uttermost from the revelation that now you have been crucified with Christ and he wants to do the living now. You didn't get regenerated so you could be so now you could do the things you couldn't do before. A lot of believers think that. Oh, before I couldn't do this, but now I have Christ. I can do everything. I can do all things in him who empowers me. It doesn't mean that. So we need to expose the devil, right? He stops us from being regenerated. If we get regenerated, he stops us from what? From Christ living in us. Then from Christ growing in us. Then in Christ being formed in us. Then of Christ being it all in us. So, of course, we'll see a little bit more tomorrow night concerning a further stage. So, hallelujah. Now we're in the stage of what? Christ living in us. And Paul is doing a work to extricate these Galatian believers from that subtlety of the Judaism. He has to work on them. He has to tell them, right? Galatians, do you know as many of you as were, what? Baptized into Christ, what? Have put on Christ. Galatian believers, don't you realize that you were what? When you were baptized into Christ. And later, and other portions in Romans 6:3, Paul tells the Roman believers, they were what? They were baptized into what? Into the death of Christ. And Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the Lord Jesus told those disciples in resurrection, right? He told them to what? Go. And what? Disciple all the nations. And doing what? Baptizing them into the names. Right?
No.
Baptizing them into the name.
Amen.
Of the what? Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. than Paul when he wrote to the Corinthian believers in what? 1 Corinthians what? 12, 13. For in one spirit, what? We were all baptized into one body. Okay, baptism, right, puts you into four things. Into what? Into Christ. What else? Into the death of Christ. What else? Into the triune God. Amen. That's not a bad place to be.
Amen.
I like to be there. Don't you like to be there?
Amen.
And what else? Baptism puts you where? Into the body of Christ. It puts you into the head, and it puts you into the body. So now you are what? You are immersed in Christ.
Amen.
You are pickled with him. You've seen pickles in his jar, right? They're just surrounded, inside, outside, right? This is God's intention, is to fully immerse you into Christ.
Amen.
And into his body.
Amen.
The organic body of Christ.
Amen.
In that way, we're on our way, Carlos,
Amen.
To carry out God's eternal economy.
Amen.
That Christ would have an organic body on this earth,
Amen.
Right? Expressing him in his image, representing him with his dominion to carry out his eternal economy.
Amen.
This is what Paul was doing with the Galatians.
Amen.
Right? It was marvelous. Okay, baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. We got into Christ, right? When you were baptized, Sean, right? You got into Christ. But how could you get into Christ? Suppose I want to be baptized into, how can I get into you? There's no way I can get close to you. I can hug you. But I can't get into you. But Paul said they were baptized into Christ. Because in Galatians 1, Christ is revealed in me. In Galatians 2, what? Christ what? Is living in me. And in Galatians 3, what does Paul say? Did you receive Christ by the Spirit? He's too smart. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Do you see? Paul jumps. The revelation jumps in Galatians 1 and 2 from Christ to what? To the Spirit. In Galatians 3, if Christ were not transfigured out of the form of the flesh into the Spirit, you could never get into him. How can you get into him, Carlos? But now he's the Spirit, the all-inclusive pneumatic Christ. Now we can get into him. So when we put people into the water after they're regenerated, we put them into the water as a visible sign, and we put them into the Spirit as what? As an invisible reality, we put them into Christ.
Amen.
Wow, not a small thing. So remember that. The next time you baptize people, you must do it with a reality, with a faith that you are putting that person into Christ himself.
Amen.
All that he is. Right? Then, Paul, in Romans 6:3, says what? That we were baptized into what? The death of Christ. Why this? Three positive, one negative. Christ is positive, right?
Right.
I like positive, right? The triune God is positive, right?
Right.
And what? And the body of Christ, right, is very positive, right? But what's this death thing? To get rid of that. What is this, Paul? What are you talking about? I just want the positive thing. Right. Carlos's old creation. All that he is. His flesh. World. Old man. Self. His old history. Don't tell me. Don't tell me your past. It's been what? It's been buried, terminated. It's over. Hallelujah. That's why we need that negative aspect, Because when we are baptized into Christ, we were also put into the death of Christ, an all-inclusive death. In his death on the cross, it was all-inclusive. He terminated everything, more than we can imagine. Sin, sins, the world, the flesh, the old man, the old creation, the world, the separating ordinances, all what? Hallelujah, terminated. He's a real terminator. You don't need Terminator 2, Terminator 3. You just need what? Terminator 1.
Christ.
Christ. The real Terminator. He terminated everything. Hallelujah. And what? We were baptized into the death of Christ to end all of our old history, our old past, our baggage. What a mercy. You know, Scientology teaches you, this guy's satanic. They teach you, you have all these bad things. I don't know too much about it. I know a little bit about it. You have all these negative things in your life. If you pay some money and this kind of that, it eliminates some of the negative things. You may have 30 negative things, Sean, with you. But if you pay us a little bit of money in this and that, Dianetics or some nonsense thing like that, then these negative things will be, you know, eliminated from your being, right? Wouldn't it? Don't you want to join Scientology?
No.
Christ did everything. He terminated everything in one shot at the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Terminated everything. When we put people into the waters, we put people into the death of Christ.
Amen.
What water? Salt water or fresh water? What? Forward or backward? Hot or cold? Fresh water or salt water? Which one? Amen. Then Matthew 28 tells us that we were what? We were baptized. Or the Lord's it, right? We were baptized into the name. Oh, I tell you, the name is not a small thing. When I say Matt Payne, you get everything in that name. You get Matt Payne's origin, source, his history, his life, his living, his attributes, his virtues. Positive, Matt. Positive. I'm talking positive here. His abilities, his capabilities, his attainments, his obtainments, his accolades, his honors, his credentials. You get everything when you get Matt Payne. It's the same thing with Christ. When we were baptized into the name of the triune God, we got everything that is involved in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Father's origin, source. You study Brother Lee's conclusion of the New Testament. I think he itemizes 38 items of the attributes of God. Oh my goodness. Too rich. You get all that the Father is, has, plan, attributes, life, nature. And then you get all of the Son, what? His Godhead, deity, creator, creature, what? Humanity, divinity, human living, what else? Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, in-breathing, attributes, virtues, unsearchable riches. You got it all because you got the name.
Amen.
The name represents the sum total of the person and the spirit. You have, oh, we have whole classes in the training in Adam on what? The spirit.
Amen.
How many items? Remember Svieta? How many items? Didn't Dave Higgins ask you to trainees to memorize those items? Brian, something like that? You remember all 150 of them? No. But still, we have the reality. They're all in the name. Baptizing it into the name.
Amen.
Wow, the name of the Father.
Amen.
And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Do you see, Paul was trying to impress those Galatians. Galatians, you were baptized into Christ. Wow. You were baptized into the death of Christ. Forget about your past. Forget about your old attempts and your background in Judaism. It was terminated.
Amen.
Keeping the law, terminated. Dietary regulations, what? Terminated.
Amen.
Sabbath, what?
Terminated.
Circumcision, what?
Terminated.
You were circumcised already when Christ was crucified, right? So this is the matter of being baptized.
Amen.
You know, when we were in Russia, laboring there in the early days, 1991, 1992, we had big conferences in Moscow and then north in St. Petersburg. And we were baptizing them by thousands, not one or two, you know. Talking about when we went to Moscow, we baptized 2,000 in 5 weeks. We went up to St. Petersburg. We baptized 5,000. Not five. You know, 5,000. 5,000 we put into the triune God in 5 weeks. And one time, you know, it stirred up the Russian Orthodox Church. They sent a black robe priest to our meeting, and he was watching us baptize all these ones. He was arguing, no, no, stop, stop. We asked him, why? Of course, through a translator. What do you expect me to speak Russian? No. And why is he upset? No, because it's baptized into the name of the, you have to say, because we were putting people, we baptize you into Jesus Christ, we baptize you into Christ, we, right. He said, no, 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 it has to be exactly like that, into the name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, 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 that's not right. He was arguing with us, he was getting more vehement, and we were getting more bold. And we told him, no, you know, in Acts, right, when Peter was baptizing, right? Right? Baptizing upon the name of Jesus Christ. Then why? So Peter got it wrong. Right? Wasn't Peter there being charged by the Lord in resurrection in Matthew 28? Wasn't he there? He heard, Peter, I want you to baptize these people into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. But when it got to the real experience there, right, in those early days in Pentecost and after that, while all those thousands were getting saved, you said, baptized through the name upon the name of Jesus Christ. Good enough. We said, why? Because the teaching is in Matthew 28. The practice is in Acts. When you put people into the name of Jesus Christ, he is the embodiment of all three.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, he's only the Son, right? He's not the Father or the Spirit, right?
No.
No, he's all three. He's the embodiment of all three. So if you put people into the name of Jesus Christ, you put them what? Into the entire triune God.
Amen.
He got more vehement. Got more upset. Eventually, we had to, well, not physically, but almost physically, usher him. You know, I use the word usher. You know, usher has two meanings. It has a positive meaning and a negative meaning. This ushering was a negative kind of thing. We had to usher this priest out of the meeting. This is because of tradition, doctrine, forms, religion. Hallelujah. We put people into the name of the triune God or into Christ. Good enough.
Amen.
If you put people into Christ, that means what? The Father is there.
Amen.
And what? The Spirit is also there.
Amen.
You got it? Then that's the individual side. You think God only wants individual believers who are baptized into Christ, into the death of Christ? And into the triune God, good enough, right? No, he's after what? He's after a body. He's after an organic body with himself as the head, as everything to that body, and dispensing all of the riches of the head into that body. He's got to get us into Christ. Then he has to build us together in a church life where all of the baptized ones into Christ, into the death of Christ, and into the triune God are all together enjoying Christ, immersed in Christ. So he has to baptize us into the body of Christ.
Amen.
So Paul tells us, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body.
Amen.
And what? And we're all what? Given to what? To drink. Ha, it's good, right? Right? We were positioned in Adam. We're in the wrong position. You're in the world. You're in the flesh. You're in Adam. You're in sin. You're in death. God has to reposition you out of Adam. What? Hallelujah. You got into Christ.
Amen.
Now that you are in Christ, you're in the right position to what? To drink Him.
Amen.
Not to keep the law. Sean, don't try to keep the law. Drink Him. When you drink Him, you're filled with the Spirit, who is the realization of Christ. You're filled with Christ. You don't have to keep the law. You're automatically fulfilling the law.
Amen.
Just far surpassing the requirements of the law because you are in Christ.
Amen.
You're enjoying Him in everything. So hallelujah. We got in Christ, into Christ, and what? We got into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Aha, this is God's goal.
Amen.
Eventually, to bring us into the body of Christ. And then what? Right? Paul, in Galatians 3, right? After we're baptized into Christ, we have to learn how to do what every day? What? Put on Christ.
Right.
Right. What, John? Put on Christ.
Amen.
It's a little bit warm, so I'll take off. I better not take off Christ, though. I'll take off my jacket, but don't take off Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Every day, you need the not only the realization that you have been what? Baptized into Christ. Baptized into what? Into the death of Christ, baptized into what? Into the triune God, and baptized into what? Into the body of Christ. Four things, right? Then you what? You need the daily experience of what? Putting on Christ. That's why you have the morning sessions on what? Morning revival, praying, calling on the Lord. What? To give you the practice of what? Of putting on Christ. When you put on your shoes, sisters, do you pray? See, it's Shia, right? What's the first name? I forget. Esther. When you put on your shoes this morning, do you say, thank you, Lord, I put on you. You're my real shoe. Huh? That Shia is a shoe. Brothers, when you put your shoes on this morning, Carl's, did you say, Lord Jesus, thank you. When I put on the shoe, I put on Christ.
Amen.
When I put on my shirt, I put on Christ.
Amen.
When I put on my jacket, I put on Christ.
Amen.
When you put on your tie, I know it's rare, you're, because I know college people, they don't like ties. But when you put on a tie, you're putting on what? Christ.
Amen.
You need to practice, right? In the very start of the day. Early in the day, right? Put on Christ. Lord Jesus, I put you on. I wear you. I want to wear you all day today. I don't want to be found naked. I don't want to be half naked. I want to wear Christ.
Amen.
I've been baptized into you. Now I want to put you on. I want to be totally immersed in you. I want you to be my life, my living, my everything, my clothing and food and dwelling place. Right? My shelter, my transportation, my everything. You're my clothing. You're my behavior. You're my conduct. You're the way I drive my car. You're the way that I talk with my wife, my children. I raise my family, right? I put on Christ.
Amen.
For as many of you as what? As were baptized into Christ, have what? Have put on Christ. Galatians, you put on Christ. You were baptized in Christ. You put on Christ. And now, at the end of Galatians, Paul says what? You are what? All one in Christ. God's intention is that all of you have been put into Christ, who wear Christ, that what? Now you're all one in Christ. Amen. You may be Greek, Jew. You may be Chinese, American, Polish. Like that one. Right? No, sorry, no Polish in the body. No Americans. I know we Americans, right? Very proud. We thought God was an American. Didn't you ever thought like that? Maybe my thinking's not so right, right? I mean, if I were God, I would probably be exist as an American, right? Eventually, Paul, he eliminates everyone at the end of Galatians chapter 3, right? I know I'm jumping ahead on the outline. You're trying to figure out where I am, right? Well, we covered all those points already. Roman numeral 1, right? We covered Roman numeral 2. I got it. If you heard what I said, you got it. Right? B, I'm in 2B. Are you following me? 2B. Such a baptism, see, puts the believers into a position where they can experience an organic union with Christ as the embodiment of the triune God. Wow. Okay, C. Brothers, read C.
By means of our organic union with the triune God, who is the all-inclusive Spirit, we are one with the triune God, and the triune God is one with us.
Amen.
And He is able to transform our whole being.
Amen. Sisters, D. 2D. Okay, a little time here. Paul is trying to help those distracted Galatian believers for them to realize you are sons of Abraham. Abraham is your great, 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 well, you know, all the way back, grandfather, right? And God promised Abraham, right, that in the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. We'd get the seed and the land. So the Jews treasured that. The Jews today have the outward physical blessings. They're blessed outwardly, financially, you know, many different ways. But that's not God's intention, His heart. He has no intention to have a blessed, financially sound, you know, rich Jewish nation. No, He wants the body of Christ. And He has to bring us into Christ. If He doesn't baptize us out of Adam, into Christ, into the triune God, into the death of Christ, into the body of Christ, how can we be the sons of Abraham in reality? No way. How can we be sons of God? He says, we are what? We are all what? Sons of God through what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. When we were baptized into Christ, into the triune God, into the death of Christ, into the body of Christ. What? We got into Christ, who is what? The promised seed of Abraham.
Amen.
If you are in the lineage, the line of the seed of Abraham, you get all the blessings. Christ is in that line, was in that line, and He was transfigured from the flesh into the life-giving Spirit so we can get into Him. Now, once we are in Him, one with Him, now we are the sons of God. We are the sons of Abraham. Now we can inherit all the blessings. So Paul said, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You don't know that song. Okay, now you do. Okay. We are sons of God because we're one with Christ. We are in Christ. So all the blessings are what? Are ours. How can we enjoy the sonship? How can we enjoy all the blessing? Because that's why Paul had to go through all those verses to show those believers that by being baptized into Christ, they were qualified and positioned to inherit the blessings that God gave to Abraham.
Amen.
Marvelous. It's the main factor, saints, in our being the sons of God and sons of Abraham, the factor by which we are included. Or how else can you be included in the seed of Abraham? You have nothing to do with the seed of Abraham. But in Christ, you are the son. You are part of that seed of Abraham. Right? And the factor which brings us, what? Into the enjoyment of the blessing. The Spirit. The all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit. All that is a tremendous blessing that we inherit by being in Christ.
Amen.
Do you still want to keep the law? Do you still like the Judaizers? You see what Paul did? He brought those distracted Jewish believers out of that bewitching thing. They were bewitched. That's Paul used that. He used that word. That means somebody cast a spell on him. Dung. Dung. Oh, I love the law. What? Crazy. Paul said, who bewitched you, foolish Galatians? What are you doing? Wake up, smell the coffee. I don't know what he said. Okay, three, to be baptized into Christ, right, we touched it, is to put on Christ, clothe ourselves with Christ, put on Christ as a garment. Hallelujah. Okay, then four, Romans 4, because we are baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, we are all one in Christ Jesus, all of us. All of us are out of Poland. We're out of China, Chinese, out of American, out of Japanese, out of Armenian, out of Georgian. I mean, Tbilisi, Georgian, where I'll go in October. You know, I go to Georgia once a year. You say, oh, very good, Bill. You're coming to... No, this is another Georgia. But no more Georgians, whether they're near Tbilisi or in Atlanta. No more Georgians in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Neither from Connecticut. I have to eliminate myself, Carlos. There are no Connecticutans in the body, right? For the church life, the one body and the one new man, right? We're all baptized. The natural man terminated.
Amen.
How can you have any Chinese, any Japanese, any Americans in the body? You got terminated.
Yeah.
What is this Japanese thing here? Weren't you baptized into Christ?
Amen. Yes.
Didn't you put on Christ?
Amen.
Aren't you all one in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. Right? Natural man terminated, buried. All the differences among races. No race here.
Amen.
What race? What's that?
Right. Amen.
Race. What does the word race mean? That's when the Indy 500? That race? Right? No races, nationality, social rank, male or female.
Right.
We're all one in Christ.
Amen.
There cannot be male and female, for you are all one in Christ. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I sang that to the trainees, right? Sister, you remember. We learned that, right? See, Sean, they know. Okay. In the new man, there is room only for Americans. Christ. Who is all the members of the new man and one in all the members. He's all of us and he's in all of us.
Yeah.
If Paul would say, for Christ is all, we would say, what about me? Paul, you eliminated me. I have no identity in the body of Christ. He said, Christ is all. Paul says, okay, just wait. Christ is all. You're not there. And in all, you're there. You're not there. And then you're there. You got it? Right? Since Christ cannot be divided, the body of Christ as a one new man cannot be divided. Christ is all the members of the one new man. Hallelujah. Isn't it glorious?
Amen.
And is in all the members. I told you that. Christ is all. You're terminated. In all. You're here. right? For the accomplishment of God's eternal, what? Economy. That's what God wants. So Paul was used by God to do a masterful job to extricate those distracted Galatian believers from mainly the law and the Judaizer by presenting a marvelous Christ in six chapter epistle. Let's all read the focus, okay, everyone? God's heart's desire
and his eternal purpose are fulfilled through our being saved and baptized into Christ, putting on Christ.
Amen.
And becoming
one in Christ as his one body, the one new man. Okay, you got it. Okay, your turn. Now, with the microphones, okay?